the course of the last 8 or 9 months, we've seen the world as we know it change drastically. We've witnessed a bustling economy with record low unemployment come to almost screeching halt for a time, which resulted in some of the highest unemployment rates our country has seen in decades. We've seen government, local, state, and federal interfere in our daily lives like most of us have never seen. Through this so-called safety mandates and executive orders, whether we realize it or not, or be willing to admit it, there's a somewhat dark question looming underneath the surface that influences the world around us. And that question is, what is the cost of human life? This question, although seemingly dark and harsh, rules so many things around us. There's even mathematical equations that are used by safety regulatory agencies to determine whether the cost of proposed safety equipment or new regulations offsets the cost of a fatality on the job, on the roadways, and so on. Insurance companies determine estimations of what they're willing to pay out for illnesses, accidents, and fatalities. Economists ask whether shutting down an economy is worth the lives it could save. Again, converting human lives into dollars. Militaries and war departments calculate whether a proposed military action is worth the expected fallout of civilian and/or military casualties, also known as collateral damage. We see this same concept all around us and unfortunately even participated in times that may be a much smaller scale. Thieves are willing to rob, steal, and even kill for just a few dollars in someone's wallet. When we run that red light or drive distracted, we trade human life for a minor inconvenience. Far worse than that, when the unborn child is cut from its mother's womb and discarded somewhere like unwanted garbage, what's the value placed on that human life in exchange for? Fortunately for us, our God does not view human life and the value the same way we do. He does not look at the perishable, but he looks at the non-perishable. From the garden until now, God's focus has been on the preservation of our eternal souls. In Genesis, when he saw how exceedingly wicked man had become and was even sorry he had made them, he sent rains from heaven to not just destroy what he had made, but more importantly, to cleanse the earth from wickedness and to preserve the souls of 8 uncorrupted people. When God instituted the law, it wasn't about the daily, weekly, monthly, or even yearly rituals. It was about keeping his people sanctified and holy, giving them constant reminders of who he was and what he has done for them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, it tells us, "For the law, since it was only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which are offered continually year after year make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins." God knew the law was flawed in the sense that the price of bulls and goats could never remove sin, but merely cover it up for a time. Again, the perishable cannot redeem the non-perishable. As a Hebrew writer wrote, it was only a shadow of good things to come. What would God give that would cover the cost of our sins? Paul states twice in 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23 that we were bought with a price. Colossians 2:13 tells us, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Hebrews 10:10 tells us, "By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Again, God does not think about things the same way we do. He does not think about dollars saved or money spent or anything monetary. But God thinks about, no matter the cost, He will pay it to redeem us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 tells us, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all fullness." John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And lastly, 1 John 4:9 and 10 says, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." As we come here today and partake of these emblems which represent the body and blood of Christ, think about that cost that was paid for you, the priceless, unmeasurable price that Christ paid for us on the cross. And not because we were worth it, but more importantly, because He loved us so much and was willing to pay it for us. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank You, God, so much for this time, Lord, that we could come and remember just how amazing You are and how much You love us, God, each and every day, that the things You do for us and ultimately, Lord, the things that throughout time, Lord, that You plan to send Your only begotten Son, Lord, to die on that cross, to become sin for our behalf, Lord, and not just sin, but our sins, my sin, and that You shed Your blood on that cross for each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank You, God, so much for all of these things, Lord, and we thank You so much for loving us when we are unlovable. And just be with us now, Lord, as we partake of these emblems, as we remember the sacrifice, Lord, that Christ gave for us. And we love You so much for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.